Chapter 4. A New Life at Thornfield. I missed Helen Burns and thought about her often. Gradually, the typhus disappeared, but the damage it had caused and the number of pupils we had lost drew unwanted attention to the school. The authorities wanted to know how the disease had spread so quickly. An investigation began, quickly discovering the unhealthy food we ate and the bad water we drank. They were shocked at our crowded accommodation and our thin clothing. As a result, new regulations were established and our conditions improved dramatically. We moved to a better building in a nicer location. Mr. Brocklehurst's power was reduced and a committee was formed to supervise the school. Lowood became a good school, and I was happy there. I loved to learn and wanted to please my teachers, so I made excellent progress. Within a short time, I was the top student. I rarely thought about those terrible days at Gateshead, and I never visited my family who had treated me so unkindly. Lowood was my home. I stayed at Lowood for 8 years. 6 as a pupil and 2 as a teacher. Miss Temple continued teaching throughout this time. She was everything to me. Mother, teacher, and in later years, my friend. But once she left to get married, I missed her calming influence. And suddenly, I needed a change. I put an advertisement in a newspaper to find a job as a teacher. A week later, a letter arrived offering me a job as governess to a little girl of 8. The salary was adequate. They wished to see my references. The letter was signed by Mrs. Fairfax of Thornfield Hall near Millcote. Millcote? I didn't even know where that was, but I wanted the job. I announced that I was leaving. The staff and pupils were sad, but wish me luck in my new post. I was given excellent references which satisfied Mrs. Fairfax. She wrote to confirm my post as governess, starting 2 weeks from then. I busied myself with packing my few things and saying goodbye to everybody. Although I knew it was time to move on, I was sad to leave the only real home I had known. The day before my departure, I received a visit from a pretty young woman, holding a child's hand. "Well," said the lady, "have you forgotten me, Miss Jane?" "Bessie! Bessie!" I cried and ran to kiss her. "How are you?" I asked. "I'm happily married to Robert, the Reed's coachman," she replied, smiling. "This is my little boy, Bobby. And I've got a girl too. She's called Jane, after you. We still live with the Reeds in Gateshead." "How are the Reeds?" I asked. "Tell me all about them." "Georgiana is very beautiful. She fell in love with a young man against his family's wishes and they planned to elope. But Eliza found out and she was so jealous that she exposed her sister's plans. Georgiana was brought back to Gateshead and now she and Eliza hate each other and argue constantly. John went to college but was expelled for bad behaviour. Now he does nothing but spend money and his mother worries about him. But tell me about you, Jane. I see you've become a lady." "Yes, I'm a lady now, Bessie. I can play the piano and paint quite well," I said proudly. "I can also speak and read French." "That's wonderful, miss," said Bessie. "You were never pretty, but you were always clever. You have succeeded in life, despite not having a loving family to support you. Tell me, did your father's family ever contact you?"
"No, never," I replied.
"Why?" "Well, a tradesman called Mr. Eyre came to visit you about 7 years ago. It was your father's brother.
Mrs. Reed told him you lived at school, and he was disappointed. He was on his way to Madeira. I didn't remember this, Uncle. Why hadn't he tried to contact me all these years? But I didn't give it too much thought and concentrated on Bessie instead. It was lovely to see her again, and perfect timing. The next day, she returned to Gateshead, and I left Lowood for my new life in Millcote. After a long journey, I arrived at Thornfield Hall. A servant called Leah took me to a small room with a round table, a warm fire, and a comfortable armchair. An elderly lady was sitting in the chair with a large cat on her lap. She wore a black dress and a white hat. This was Mrs. Fairfax, and she looked exactly how I had imagined her. When I entered the room, she got up and came to meet me. "Hello, my dear," she said. "I'm sure you're cold. Come, sit by the fire." She asked Leah to make me a sandwich and a cup of tea. I was very hungry, and I appreciated this very much. "I'm happy you've come to live with us," said Mrs. Fairfax as I ate my sandwich. "Thornfield is beautiful, but it's lonely sometimes. Now you're here, things will be different." I was happy to hear this and liked the old lady very much. "You must be tired, my dear," said Mrs. Fairfax kindly. "I'll take you to your bedroom. It's small, but comfortable. I hope you like it." Mrs. Fairfax took me to my room, and I was so tired that I fell asleep immediately. When I woke the next morning, the sun was shining and my room was bright and cheerful. I opened the window, breathed the fresh air, and listened to the birds singing. I dressed and went down to the breakfast room. Mrs. Fairfax was already there. "Do you like Thornfield?" she asked. I told her I liked it very much. "Yes," she said. "It's pretty. I hope Mr. Rochester will come and visit here more often now. A house needs an owner." "Mr. Rochester?" I repeated. "Who's he?" "He owns Thornfield," she answered, surprised by my ignorance. "Didn't you know the owner was Mr. Rochester?" "No," I replied. "I thought Thornfield belonged to you." "To me?" she exclaimed. "What a funny idea. Oh no, I'm only the housekeeper." "And the little girl?" I asked. "Who is she?" "Adele is Mr. Rochester's ward," Mrs. Fairfax replied. "She was born in France. When she first arrived, she couldn't speak any English. Now she speaks a little English and mixes it with French." Just then, a little girl and her maid entered the room. The girl was around 8 years old, with a pale face and long brown hair. "Good morning, Miss Adele," said Mrs. Fairfax. "Come and meet your new governess." I smiled at Adele and spoke to her in French. She was a happy, friendly child and seemed excited to meet me. Within minutes, she started to sing for me and then read some poetry too. After breakfast, she showed me her books and paintings. Then we began our lessons in the big library. She wasn't particularly clever, but she was very cooperative, and I liked my new pupil. After our lessons, Mrs. Fairfax showed me the rest of the big house. I admired everything, especially the paintings and beautiful ornaments. "Mrs. Fairfax, everything is very clean and orderly," I remarked. "Well, that's the way Mr. Rochester likes it," the housekeeper replied. "He rarely visits us. But when he comes, it's usually without warning, so we must always be ready for him." "Do you like him?" I asked my new friend. "Is he a kind man?" "Mr. Rochester is a respectable man and a good employer," she replied. "He has travelled a lot and seen the world. but I don't always understand him. I never know if he's joking or serious." That was all she would say on the subject of Mr. Rochester.